All right, today we start a new perek. Today's daf is Chulin, daf Kuf Lamed Hey. We begin the perek Reishis Hagez. So says the Mishnah, Reishis Hagez, knowing Ba'aretz U'B'chutz La'aretz, the requirement to give the first shearings from a sheep is knowing both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz, b'fnei abayis, b'shelo b'fnei abayis, both when there is a Beis HaMikdash as well as when there's no Beis HaMikdash, v'chulin av'lo b'mikdashim, but it's only knowing on chulin animals, it's not knowing on animals of Hekdash, and animals that belong to the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi writes, first Rashi, Reishis Hagez, kol agozis tzono, anyone who shears the sheep, bein tla'im u bein zakenim, whether they're young sheep or they're old sheep, v'afilu gozis on mea pa'amim, even if you shear your sheep 100 times, nosin mimena matana l'kohen, you're supposed to give from that shearing a matana to the kohen. V'shiurim efarish l'kaman, v'chavesh gizos, sheish v'kalechan, mano prasa, yinosin mishkol chamish slaim. And the Mishnah is about to tell us exactly what the shear is, how much you give to the kohen, but that is the basic halacha. So Rashi doesn't just give us the basic halacha over here, he actually tells us 3 separate distinct halachos about Reishis Hagez. He tells us, first of all, that it's no ben bitlan ben bizkin, and that it applies to young and old animals alike. He tells us that you have to give it even if your gozes mea pa'amim, even if your gozes 100 times. And he gives us the shiurim, the almost exact shiurim of the mitzvah of how much you have to give. So that's just a little bit unusual. The Tiferes Yaakov, one of the Achronim, wonders why Rashi over here, right at the beginning of the parak, saw fit to mention 3 random halachos about Reishis Hagez. You want to tell me what Reishis Hagez is, that there's a mitzvah to give some sort of shearing to a Kohen? Fine, tell me that. But why do you have to now mention, right at the beginning of the parak, that it's bein b'tlaim, bein b'zakenim, that it's afilu mea pa'amim? Is that part of the definition of the mitzvah? Why would he mention all of these halachos? So he writes, to be miyashiv Rashi, that the name of the mitzvah itself is somewhat misleading. Reishis Hagez, that title is somewhat misleading, because a person might think that the first giza of each and every tle you give to a kohen, since that's the reishis, it's the first giza of that particular animal, and from that point on until the rest of its life when it gets older, there's no more chiyuv. Only the first time, only the first shearing, one might have thought, because it's called, after all, Reishis Hagez. Or you might have thought that the giza of the first tle, of all the tlem that you have, that you're going to shear, whenever you gather your sheep together to shear them, one might have thought, so if I'm going to shear 100 sheep, I should give the first sheep's giza to the kohen, and that's it. And the rest of the sheep's gizos, I'll keep for myself. So that's why Rashi wants to emphasize that this mitzvah applies even when you are gozes kvasim zakenim, even if they're old sheep that have been shorn many times before, and even though it's not their first giza that they've ever been through, you've done it many times before, and not only if your gozes others. Before it, even meaning not only if you had been gozes other sheep before it, even if this sheep itself you've been gozes before, even mea pa'amim, you give the Reishis Hagez l'kohen, and not that you give only the shearings of the tle that is first sheared from your from your flock, but rather there's a shear, there's a certain amount, there's a percentage that you're supposed to give. It's not just the first sheep out of the 100 sheep that I'm going to shear. So basically, the way he explains it is Rashi tells us those halachos that you might have misunderstood, or you might have had a misimpression about, just by reading the first 2 words of the parak, just by reading the words Reishis Hagez. That's what that's what Rashi's kavana is in teaching us these halachos. So the Mishnah goes on, third line, Chomer bizroa ulchayayim ubekeva mireishis hagez, comparing Reishis Hagez to the last parak, to the other matanos of zroa ulchayayim vekeva, there are certain chumras that zroa ulchayayim vekeva have that Reishis Hagez does not have, namely shazroa ulchayayim vekeva noagin bebakor ubetzon, zroa ulchayayim vekeva is noag both in cattle as well as in sheep, bimruba ubimur, and it also doesn't matter how many animals you're shechting. By Zerua L'chayim Kevi, you could be shechting 100 animals, you could be shechting one animal, and you're still going to have that mitzvah. But for Reish Sagez, they know noeg ele b'rechelos, they know noeg ele b'meruba. Reish Sagez is only noeg on rechelos, and it's only noeg if you have a lot of animals. So Rashi says, what's the difference? Why should it be different? Why is it Reish Sagez only b'rechelos? So why is it different than Zerua L'chayim B'keva? So Rashi writes that the chiluk is that the chiluk between the reason why Israel chayim mekeva is bein bebakar bein mitzon, Reish Sagez only berachelos, comes from the difference of the lashon that the pasuk uses by these two mitzvos. When it comes to the Israel chayim mekeva, the pasuk says v'zeyem mishpatokan me'isam me'is zovchei hazevach. Im shor im se. It says whether it's a shor or a se. V'nasan l'kohen hazrov l'chayayim akeva. So the chiyuv is clearly both min ha-bakar and min ha-tzon. Shor being bakar and se being tzon. But by Reish Sagez it says, Reishus geiz tzoncha titein lo. You should give the Reishus geiz ha-tzon, which is only min ha-tzon, obviously, and not from bakar. Now the Gemara later on, in 2 days from the Kuf Lamed Zayin, is going to say that this chiluk is not enough to warrant this entire difference in halacha in the Mishnah, because we should have been mechayev Reish Sagez even from goats also, because they're also called tzon, and not beruchelos the way, not only beruchelos the way the Mishnah says. We should have included goats. Tzon is a term that doesn't only include sheep, it includes goats as well, so that should also be included in Reish Sagez. So the Gemara's, so Rashi over here addresses it. Rashi says right over here that it's only from ruchelos, not from goats. Where's the Rashi? Rashi says the geiz tzonchuk se v'izim lav geiz ikru, that which comes off of goats is not called geiz. It's called something else, and therefore it's called seyar or something. It's not called geiz, and therefore it's not included. So what does the Gemara actually say about it? The Gemara we're going to see on Kuf Lamed Zayin first is mitarets that we should learn from Gezeira Shava that giza is not called giza unless it's from kvasim. Then the Gemara rejects that pshat and says that geiz rechelim is not called giza ela tlisha, that it's not called shearing when you take it off of when you take it off of a goat. It's just called detaching. So from Reish's geiz tzoncha we learn that it's only about the sheep. But then the Gemara finally answers that the izim are nismatu, where we exclude izim from the hemshech of the pasuk, because it says kivo bachar Hashem elokecha mikol shvatecha la'amod l'sharis b'shem Hashem. So the smichus between we learn from the smichus of the psukim that there's no chiyuv Reish Sagez unless it's ro'i lishros, meaning tzemer shel rechelim, which they make big day shares out of, and not izim. So it's from the fact that it says la'amod l'sharis, so we learn only those clothing that they could use for big day kahuna, as opposed to that which comes off of a goat. So Rabbi Eger on the Mishnayos, and tells Rabbi Eger on the Mishnayos over here, just wonders why Rashi on the Mishnah picks the middle limud, that it's not called geiz when you take something off of a goat. Of the three limudim, normally you would expect them to either take the Gemara's first impression. Rashi very often will do that. Sometimes when the Gemara has a first impression and then rejects it, on the Mishnah he'll just tell you the Gemara's first impression, because that's Rashi's telling you what you're supposed to think while you're learning at this point. So when you read the Mishnah, you're probably supposed to think the Gemara's first impression when you read the Mishnah. So sometimes Rashi will do that, and other times, on occasion, Rashi will tell you what the maskana of the Gemara is. But over here, it's very unusual, because Rashi gives you the middle of the three pshatim. So that's it's a little bit unusual. Rabbi Kivager's bothered by that, and he says maybe Rashi is not really being mechavin over here to the middle limud, that Giza's izim is not called Giza, because it's called Tlisha. Maybe he's really referring to the first limud, that their Gizos aren't called Gizos because of Xeris HaKasuv, that we learn from Eov that Giza is not called Giza unless it's on Kvasim. Maybe he's actually referring to the first limud. Okay, we'll see when we get there. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah further now, the Kamuhu Meruba. So he said one of the differences in Reish Sagez and Zerua L'chayim Mekeva is that Reish Sagez is only noeg when it's Meruba, when you have a lot. So how much is a lot? Two sheep. Shenemar yichaya ish eglas bakar v'shtei tzon. So Beisil omrim chamish. Beisil says it needs to be five. Shenemar chamish tzon nasuyos. Rabbi Dosa ben Akina omer chamish rechelos gozizos mana manu pras chayavos preish sagez. When we say five sheep, it means five sheep that have significant shearings. If you have five sheep that each have mana manu upras, then you're chayav in reish sagez. The chamom rim and the chamish rechelos gozizos kol shehen. Now, you just need five. It doesn't have to be a certain amount of shearings that come off of the sheep, as long as you're shearing five sheep, no matter how little each one is giving you. The kamen nosen lo, how much do you give to the Kohen? So mishkal chamesh slaim, the Yehuda shein eser slaim begalil. The weight of five slaim in Yehuda, which equals the weight of five slaim in Galil, meluban velotzoi, and it should be white wool and not dirty wool. The wool shouldn't be dirty still. Tzoi, Rashi says, shlo nesla ben adayin kulo. Tzoi is before it's whitened at all. So it should be after it's already whitened. Kedei lasos menu beged katan. It should be enough to make a small beged out of. Shnemar, titein lo, shiibo kedei matan. The pasuk says, titein lo, we learn from there that it should have kedei matan. It should be big enough to make a beged out of. Lo hispik litna lo ad shetzavo, pater. But let's say you didn't give it to the Kohen, and you already dyed the wool. Now the wool is red. You wanted to make some sort of red garment out of it. So now you're going to be potter from Reish Sageiz. Livno velotzva ochayiv. But if you whitened it, you bleached it, and you didn't color it yet, then you're still going to be chayiv. So this is a major sugya in Shas. This is a major Baba Kama sugya. That if you tzoveya it, all of a sudden the potter from the mitzvah, that's the concept of shinoi, Kone, that over here it's an unusual application. I mean, it's the application, but it's unusual in the way we normally think about it. We think of Shinoi Kone Midine Gzeila. Over here it's Midine Matnas Kuhuna, that you're not going to give the Matana because it went through a Shinoi. So there are a lot of details about this halacha that the Rishonim discuss. We're not going to be able to get to everything. I'll just give you the Rashi Prakin. The Rishonim discuss and debate, where does this Pator come from, that when you're Tzoveya, all of a sudden you're Pater from Reish Sageiz? They also debate whether you have to have Kavana to steal it by coloring it, or you're Pater even without Kavana to steal it, just by being Tzoveya, by accident, you'd also be Kona. Is it Dafka because it's a Maisa Gzela and you're having Kavana to be Gozel? The third thing they argue about is how much of the wool needs to be colored in order for you to be Pater. And the fourth thing they argue about is whether there's a chiv to pay money instead of the tzemer, meaning, okay, now you get to keep the shear. So what, you gain because of your aveira? So now you're not going to have to pay anything? And if you don't have to pay the money, so should you at least pay the money to be Yotzei Yedei Shemayim? Now, all of those four machloksim, those four issues, although they sound like four separate issues, are very much related to each other and how you understand fundamentally what the din is about. For instance, some of the Rishonim understand that once we're koveya on a chelek of the giza, once you determine that part of the shearings that you've done now have a shame, reishis hageiz, that this is what you designated as the reishis hageiz, so that chelek immediately becomes momen hakohanim. It immediately becomes the property of the kohanim. And therefore, since it's momen hakohanim, it will turn out that when you're meshane in it with the intent to steal it, you become a gazlan, and your kone, like a gazlan, is what makes kinyane geneva. So you'd be kone with kinyane geneva. So according to that pshat, if that's really what's going on, so the tzviya, the actual coloring that the Mishnah is speaking about, is being tzoveya, not all of the gaze. We don't care about all the gaze. It's being tzoveya that chelek that you were planning on giving to the kohen, which was momen kohanim. It's not that when there is shearings that are tzavua, so the whole thing is pata from reish sageiz. No, it's that if you have already determined what's going to the kohen, and then you would tzoveya it, so that's gazela from the kohen. And according to this pshat also, you have to have kavana to be gozel, just like any gazlan would need kavana to be gozel. And also there's reason to say that you'd be chayv b'tashlumim, that you'd have to pay for the giza. So you see, all of these machloksim are related. Now the Tos Yantav phrases the question on the Mishnayos over here, on this Mishnah, how you can be kone when you're tzoveya the giza to steal it. You never did a maisa kinyan with a mashiach or a hagbah. Stealing normally, yeah, shinoi is kona also, but shinoi is only kona when it's in conjunction with some sort of maisa kinyan. You have to at least take it first. I mean, what does it mean shinoi kona when you steal? If I go into your house and I steal something, I take it for myself, and that's all I do, then I have a mitzvah shefas agzela shagazla, I have to return it as is. But if I mishane it, I do some major shinoi on it, then I only have to reimburse you the money for it, I don't don't have to return the item itself. The item itself is no longer the item itself. But you have to do that initial act of kinyan without a meshicha agbah, taking it into my possession, taking it into my property. So where's the gezela? So that's what Tos Yontif says, that the din that the gazlan has to do ma'aseh kinyan is only when I'm taking merishus acherim, when I go into your house and I take something. So that's when I make myself a gazlan by going into your house and taking something. So that's where you need a ma'aseh kinyan, because otherwise it wouldn't be called gazlan. It would be called mazik. If I go into your house and I just dye all of your clothing, whatever my favorite color is, so that's not called the gazlan. That's called the mazik. But over here, the giza is in my rishus already. The Torah only uses mitzavami to give it to a kohen. So that's why the kinyan gezela will work with only with a shinoi alone, without a meshich or hagba. But anyway, that's one approach to the understanding of this shinoi. The other approach, another approach that Rishonim take, is that the chiyuv of nesina is of resh sagez, is not that once you determine this is resh sagez, it automatically becomes momen kohanim. No. I have a chiv to give mishalo, to give my own stuff, my own shearings for Resh Sagez. The Kohanim are not kona anything when I'm mafrish and I determine which shearings I'm going to give. It's just that the Torah is not mechayiv b'nesina unless the giza is be'en, unless the giza is still intact. Once I do a shinoi, a chash of a shinoi on the giza, a significant shinoi on the giza that I was gozes, it's as if the giza is not here anymore, and memela, the chiyuv that the Torah has, not din imamunis, the chiyuv that the Torah has, that I have to give this, is no longer there. So according to this, it must be that we're talking about where you were tzoveya, not just the part you were going to give. Because we're talking about the chiyuv that's chal on all of your gizas, that you have a large amount of shearings, you have a chiyuv to give a chelek of it. But now we're saying the p'tor is because the gizos aren't here anymore. So then it would have to be that you're tzoveya all of the giza, not just the chelek that you give to the kohanim. It would also come out that you wouldn't have to have kavanah to be gozel, because it's not about stealing. It's just about the fact that the chiyuv is not going to be there when it's tzavua. So there's no intent that's necessary. It would also turn out that there's no chiyuv tashlumim, because again, it wasn't a ma'aseh geneva, it wasn't an act of stealing for which I'm reimbursing somebody. It was just it was like a haram of getting out of a mitzvah. It was doing something to avoid a mitzvah. Now, good. So those are the two basic approaches the Rishonim have. We're not going to get into further discussion. There are a lot more details about those approaches. We'll leave it at that. The Mishnah said that if you're melabein and you're not soveya, you're still chayiv in resh sagez. So this, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Bikurim, the Rambam paskins parakir alacha hey, exactly like our Mishnah, that libun is not considered enough of a shinoi and it doesn't exempt you from resh sagez. It is somewhat curious though that in Hilchos Gezela, the Rambam writes that if you steal tzemer and you're melabin it, it is a significant shinoi, and you're kona the tzemer by being melabin the tzemer. So the Lacha Mishnah, the Shach in Choshen Mishpat, the Gra, all ask the stira in the Rambam. Is Libun considered enough of a shinoi, or is it not considered enough of a shinoi? It's a stira in the Rambam. So some of the Achronim, there are several terutzim in the Achronim. Some of the Achronim are matarets, that the Rambam was careful in Hilchos Gezela to write Shenipso v'libno, that not just that you were malabin it, you did niputz first, and that's a greater shinoi than just libun alone. So maybe that's why the Rambam holds in Hilchos Gezela is considered enough of a shinoi. Rav Zal Meltzer points out in Evan Ezel in Hilchos Gezela v'Aveda, then maybe the Rambam should have mentioned that, and Hilchos Bikurim should have said that if you're menapetz it, then it would be enough of a shinoi. The Rambam just writes that if you malabin, it's not enough of a shinoi. Maybe he should have mentioned it. And he says it's hard to say that the Rambam Hilchos Bikurim is somech from what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Gezela, because Hilchos Gezela comes after Hilchos Bikurim. So you would imagine he wouldn't be somech on that which he writes later. Although it's not so pashut. Sometimes the Rambam is somech on that which he writes later in the Sefer. He assumes you're reading the Sefer in its totality, or you would look up the parallel makoros. The Mi'iri, however, has a different approach. Mi'iri says that some are mechalek between this libun, between libun in regards to Reish Sagez and in regards to the din of Gazlan, that by Reish Sagez libun is not konem, by Gazlan it is konem. Mimiri says explicitly that for these two dinim, libun might might have might be enough of a shinui to be kona for Reish Sagez, but not enough of a shinui to be kona. I'm sorry, for Gazlan, but not enough of a shinui to be kona for Reish Sagez. Why? So Rav Isser Zalman and Evan Ozel explains, because by Reish Sagez, the reason that shinui patters you from the Chiv Nesina is because it's not Gez Soncha. By doing the shinoi, it's no longer gez soncha. And therefore, until you do a major shinoi to be mafkia, your name from it, you're not kona. You need to do something significant. So whatever is derech tikkun atzemer, whatever you're doing to just work the wool in a normal way and prepare the wool for future production is not a significant enough shinoi to take it out of your to take away the chiyuv. As opposed to by a gazlan who's kona the gazela with shinoi for a different reason, because the pasuk says asher gazal, and there the gemara darshins and saks baba kama daf samach vav daf samach zayin daf sadiches daf kuf yud beis, the gemara baba kama over and over and over again says asher gazal ke'en shagazal, that you're supposed to that you have to return that which you stole only if it is as you have stolen it. So over there, it's not necessary to have a significant shinoi. You just have to have a shinoi. As long as it's not exactly as you stole it, memela, that's enough of a shinoi when it comes to stealing something. So that's how that's perhaps another way to explain the Rambam, is that taka the halachas are different when you're melabein for Reish Sagez and when you're melabein for the halachas of Gzela. Okay, so vaitu the Mishnah now. The second wide line, halokeach geiz tzon shalovik kachavim patim resh sagez. If a person purchases the geiz tzon of an ovik kachavim of a guy, so it's patim from resh sagez. Rashi writes that it talks about, we're talking about that it's mechubar, that you buy the shearings while they're still on the sheep, you're still patim because the tzon doesn't belong to you. It's not gizascha min hatzon, it's geiz tzoncha. So if the sheep doesn't belong to you, the sheep still belongs to the guy, so then there's not going to be a chiv of resh sagez, even though the shearings, while they were attached to the sheep, already belong to you. That's why you're pater. Halakech geiz tzono shel chaveiro, if you buy geiz tzono shel chaveiro, another Jew, so now it's got to be chayv in resh sagez, because a Jew owns the sheep and a Jew owns the shearings. Question is, who's going to be chayv in resh sagez? Which Jew is going to be chayv in resh sagez? So im shi'er hamocher chayv. If you left over some, you didn't buy all of the shearings, then the seller is going to be chayv. Lo shi'er, but if you didn't leave anything over, and the only one who gets any of the shearings is the lokeach, so then halokeach chayv, then the one who buys it is going to be chayv. Hayilo shnei minim shchufos levanos, machlo shchufos avalov levanos, zecharim avalonu kevos, zenos in the atzmav, zenos in the atzmav. There are two types of sheep that he has. That he has shchufos, which are like grayish sheep, and levanos, white sheep. So if he sold them only one kind, or he sold them only the males and not the females, so then each one gives from their own kinds of sheep. Then they're split into different categories. Fine. Gemara now. B'mukdash in my time alone. So at the very beginning of the Mishnah, the first halacha we said is that Reish Sagez is knowing by Chulin Avalo b'mukdashin. So why is it not knowing b'mukdashin? Why do we not have a mitzvah of Reish Sagez on animals that belong to Hegdish? Amar Kra, Tzoncha v'lo Tzon Shal Hegdish. Pasuk says Tzoncha. It's Reish Sagez Tzoncha, not Tzon Shal Hegdish. So it's a very clear drasha from the Pasuk. Pasuk is very specific. It has to belong to you. So says Gemara, ooh, so that implies time of the Kasav Rachman Tzoncha. Halav ha-chiyavim yinakachim chayavim Reish Sagez. It's only because it says it in a very possessive way that it's Tzoncha, that it's your sheep. But had it not said Tzoncha, I would assume that it's chayavim Reish Sagez. But what do you mean? Halav b'nei gizoninu. How could there even be a havamina without the word tzoncha that kachim are chayiv in resh sagez? They're not b'nei giza. You can't do giza on kachim animals. D'chsiv v'lo sigos b'char tzoncha. You're not allowed to be gozeis kachim. You're not allowed to be gozeis b'char tzoncha. So says the Gemara, I b'kachim izbeach hachinami. Look, if we were talking about kachim izbeach, you'd be right. You wouldn't need tzoncha to tell me that it's part of resh sagez, because you're not allowed to shear it anyway when you're dealing with kachim izbeach, when you're dealing with animals that are designated to be karbanos on the mizbeach. Hacha b'mayaskinon b'katshe bedek habayis. But over here we're talking about the Beis Hamikdash owned a lot of things. It owned a lot of property just in general. There are shuls like that. There are shuls that own real estate somewhere or own have investments in whatever place. They just the Beis Hamikdash had a lot of different financial interests, and that helped support the Beis Hamikdash. That helped support the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. So they happened to have flocks of sheep wherever they were. So that had nothing to do with karbanos. So such kachim, the kachim bedek habayis, that's what we're talking about, that you're allowed to shear those, and that's why I need the Torah to tell me that there's no chiv of resh sageiz on those sheep, because you are allowed to shear them. Minchas Chinuch says, Minchas Chinuch of here wonders, in mitzvah Tav Kuf Ches, why is it that there's an isur gizem midaraisa by kachim mizbech? Why is it that isur daraisa would cause that there's no need for a miyut to tell me that there's no chiv of resh sageiz? Meaning, he says, "Hani chloma she'in l'chayvul lavar iser v'lagus k'dei liten resh sageiz v'adei pashadu." To tell me that I don't have to violate an iser in order to be gozeiz, in order to give resh sageiz. So that's pashut. But what meaning? I understand. I don't need a drasha to tell me don't violate the iser of shearing kachim animals. But don't I need a pasuk to tell me that if I did violate the iser of shearing kachim animals, that I don't have to give resh sageiz? Meaning, why is the Gemara saying so pashut that, what do you mean? How could there ever be a havamin of a mitzvah of resh sageiz on kachim animals? It's aser to shear them. And no one ever does anything that's aser. So what if I did? I sheared it. Now I want to know what to do. So, okay, granted, it's aser to do it. So but what if you did it? So now do you give resh sageiz or do you not give resh sageiz? So the Gemara assumes that, no, we don't even need to discuss that. Why not? Why don't we need a pasuk to tell me that I'm pater once from the mitzvah of resh sageiz just because it's a kachim animal? So that's the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. So okay, there are several terutzim. The achronim have a good time trying to figure this out. Minchas Chinuch mitarets that even though without a miyut the tzemer would be chayiv in resh sageiz if you violated the avera of being gozeiz, still it can't be that's the whole reason for the pasuk, for the miyut in the pasuk, because we find a lot of places in Shas where we don't want to use psukim to dafka address b'dieved situations. So there should have been some drasha somewhere somehow to figure out how to deal with the b'dieved situation, but it can't be that's the whole reason it says tzoncha. A little bit shver. It's very very difficult. You got to figure out exactly what's going on over here. But anyway, so back in the context of the Gemara is saying, so when it comes to kachim mizbeach, it's a davar pashut that you're not going to be chayv in resh sageiz because there are no gizos. You're not allowed to shear kachim mizbeach, but kachim bedek abayis you are allowed to shear, and therefore we need a pasuk to tell me not to give resh sageiz. So frankly, Gemara v'ha'amar Rabbi Lazar kachim bedek abayis asurim begizva avodah midrabanan. But didn't we learn that kachim bedek abayis you're also not allowed to shear? It's asur begizva avodah midrabanan, and therefore I should know anyway that there's no resh sageiz because I'm not allowed to do giza. So salgadai techamina hol midaraisa b'nei giza ninu heich degoz leilesiv lei. No, but I might have thought that since midaraisa they are b'nei giza, it's only midarabanan that they're not allowed to shear them. That since midaraisa they can be sheared, if you do shear them, you then would be chayiv in resh sageiz. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me that no, as long as the animal belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, any shearings are pater from resh sageiz. So frankly, Gemara v'hakadishla. But how could I even have a havamina that it's chayiv in resh sageiz, even the kachim bedek habayis? But it has it's kadosh. So how could there be a havamina that I should give something that's hegdish as resh sageiz, meaning to a kohen? It's not mine. How do I give it to a kohen? It has to belong to you. So salkatay techamina lifrok felesivle. No, one might have thought that you have to redeem it from the Beis Hamikdash, give money in exchange for it, and then give it to a kohen. But to redeem something, in order to redeem something, you need to stand it up and do a proper evaluation, which is obviously not shaykh on the kachim. So if you can say the kachim bedek habayis doesn't require hamadav aracha, fine. Then I understand the havamina that you would have had to redeem it and give the money and give the shearings to the kohen. El man yamar hayu But according to the Shita that holds that they are included in Amad Varacha, so then what's the Havamina that you have to redeem it? There is no way to redeem it. Samra Mani Bar Patish Mishum Rabbi Yanai, meaning the Hamad Varacha, part of Hamada is standing an animal up. When you're dealing with shearings, there's no standing it up. It's just a bunch of shearings. So Amra Mani Bar Patish Mishum Rabbi Yanai, Hacha B'Maktish Behemto Lebedek Habayis Chutz Migizo Seha. Now scratch everything we said until now. The case must be that we need, where do I need a pasuk tell me that a kachim animal is part from reish sagez? I need a pasuk in a case where you're maktish the behemoth the bedek habayis chutz migizoseha, that the whole animal is now belongs to the base of English except for its gizos that I retained for myself. So salk that the chamina ligzos v'leisavlei. I might have thought that you have to shear it and give those shearings to the kohen, give the reish sagez to the kohen. Amakrat son chavalot son shel hagdish. That's why I said son chavalot son shel hagdish. Doesn't depend on who owns the shearings, it depends on who owns the tzon, who owns the actual sheep, and Hegdish owns the actual sheep, therefore there is no chiv. So, frankly, Mar Ihachi Kachim is Beach Nami. Once we're saying that, then you might as well have said that I made the whole animal Kachim is Beach, Chutz Mi Gizo Seha, and that's the Chiddish, that I don't have to give those shearings to Kohen. So, says Mar Kachshi. No, because the shearings are very much related to the overall strength of the animal, so if you take the gizo off of the animal, it weakens the bus of the animal also. So if it were kachim mizbeach, you would not be allowed to keep the shearings for yourself and to remove the shearings because it's having an effect on the overall animal. So frankly, Gemara, I'm not allowed to devalue the basar of kachim mizbeach, but I am allowed to devalue the basar of kachim ben kabayis. Kachim ben kabayis nami kachshi. So then why does it solve anything by saying that I was mekadesh of the ben kabayis except for the gizos? It's going to devalue the buser in that way also. So the amar chutz mi gizo khisha. So it must be that you said you're being makdish the animal, the bedek habayis, except for not just its gizos, but the khisha, the weakening that happens as a result of the gizos as well. So then says the Gemara again, back to the kasha, kachim is bech nami, damar chutz mi gizo khisha. So why do you have to say that we're talking about where you're makdish the bedek habayis? Say that you're being makdish it limiz beyach, chutz mi gizo ukhisha, and then the chiddush is that even those gizos that you take off of the animal, which belong to you, are still part from reish sagez because the animal doesn't belong to you. Says Gemara, afilu hachi pashta kedusha bekula. Now, when it comes to a kachim mizbeach animals, the kedusha spreads to the entire animal. Even when you say chutz mi gizasa, everything becomes kadosh because once it has kedushas haguf is so intense that if you're mekadesh the behemoth kedushas haguf, the gizos have to also become kadosh because kedushas haguf. Kedushas bedek habayis is a less chomer kind of kedusha, so it could be more compartmentalized. You could say I'm being mekadesh only the animal and not the gizos. So minat temra, how do we know that this is so, that it's poshet pekula? Dam Rabbi Yossi v'alo b'muktashon ha'omer ragla shalzu ola kula ola. When it comes to Hagdish in general, if you say the leg of this animal is going to be a carbon ola, so you're saying that it's going to have kedush saguf, mele the whole thing has kedush saguf, becomes a carbon ola. It can't be compartmentalized because it's such an intense kedusha. V'afil Rameir dam rein kula ola. And even Rameir who says that when you are maktisha a leg of an animal as an ola, that the whole thing doesn't become an ola, that's only because you're maktish a leg, which is not something that gives the animal its life. If you cut off the leg, the animal will still be alive. But if you're maktish a part of the animal that the animal needs to survive, then the entire animal will become kadosh, including everything that's attached to it. And what are we talking about in our case? Where you're maktish the entire animal, chutz mi gizo klisha, except for the giza of the animal and whatever weakening the. So obviously, you're being maktish, you're being maktish all the vital organs, you're being maktish the whole goof of the animal. So mele, the whole thing is going to become kadosh according to everybody, no matter which shita in Tanaim you want to hold like. Fine, so that is the all the second approach to understanding when I need the chiddush of Soncha. So again, first approach the Gemara had was that I need the chiddush of Tzoncha to tell me that I'm pater from kachim, from giving reish sagez and kachim animals in cases where I makdish the entire animal the kachim bed kabayis. Second approach is no, I makdish the animal chutz mi gizo seha the bed kabayis. Rava Amar, Rava says no, different, third approach. Rava Amar, b'maktish giza atzma. You don't have to say that we're talking about where you maktish chutz mi gizo chishasa. No, we're talking about where you maktish only the giza. And And the reason that you're pater from Reish Sagez is because it's not called gaze. It's not from the fact that it's so that it's not soncha, because it is soncha. You're only makdish the giza, but still salkadait chamina ligzos live from gleisavle. So one might have thought that that you should be chayiv in Reish Sagez. Amakra gaze soncha titein lo. It's not just the word soncha, it's that entire phrase that teaches us that if you're makdish the giza, you're potter in this case. Why? Gaze soncha titein lo, mishein mechusar el giza unesina. That the animal has to be ready that all it needs is the shearing and the giving, and then it's done. Yatza zeh, as opposed to if you're makdish the giza, it's shemechusar giza pedia unesina, where it doesn't only need a giza and a nesina, you need to be gozes, and then to be poda, and then to be no same. So since there's an extra step added in, why do you need to be poda? Because the gizos are kachim. So since there's that extra step added in, memela, it's not included in the mitzvah in the pasuk. So that is approach number three of what exactly the case is where I need a drasha to tell me that it doesn't apply by kachim. So frankly, tzoncha lemayasa. But if you're going to take Rava's drasha, it's nothing to do with the fact that it's tzoncha. It's just that it's gaze and titain are the key words that you need giza and Nesina and nothing else in between. So according to Rava, what does Soncha come to teach me? Licha de Tanya for the following Brisa. Behemah Sashut from Chayiv Reish Sagez, Rav Elohi Poter. Behemah belongs to partners, is Chayiv and Reish Sagez. Rav Elohi says that Behemah Sashutfim is Pata from Reish Sagez. My time is Rav Elohi. Where does Rav Elohi get the idea that it's Pata from Reish Sagez? Amakrat son chavolosh al shutfus pasuk says son chav we darshin chavolosh al shutfus. So Rabbanon the meute shutfus of chavim, and the Rabbanon would respond, no, that's coming to exclude shutfus of chavim, not shutfus with another Jew. Rabbi Lai would, so again, we've accounted for Tzoncha according to both Tanaim now, that Rava would say Tzoncha has nothing to do with Kachim. Tzoncha has to do with having a Shutfus, whether it be with a Jew according to Rabbi Lai, with a guy according to the Rabbanan. But now we're just going to go back and forth within these Tanaim, within the Rabbanan Rabbi Lai. For Rabbi Lai, Shutfus of Chav Minale, where does Rabbi Lai know that if a guy has a chelek in it, that if you're a partner with a non-Jew in the animal, that it's part from Reish Sagez? Nafkalemi Resha Dekra, he learns it from the beginning of the Pasuk. Reshis Tegancha, Velo Shutfus Ovid Chavim. It's Reshis Tegancha. Now Reshis Tegancha, Dagan has nothing to do with sheep shearings. But since it's in the same Pasuk, that it tells me about both Reshis, it says Reshis Tegancha Tiroshcha V'yitzarecha V'Reshis Geiz Tzoncha Titeimlo. So since it uses the term Reshis at the beginning of the Pasuk, so we assume that that's, that could also teach us to exclude Shutfus Ovid Chavim even by Reshis Geiz. The Rabbanan would say, no, Reshis Hifsika Inyan. So the Rabbanan would say, pay careful attention to how this pasuk says. It says, Reshis Degancha, Tiroshcha V'Yitzarecha, V'Reshis Geiz Tzonecha. It should have said, Reshis Degancha, Tiroshcha V'Yitzarecha, V'Geiz Tzonecha, Titen Lo. Why the extra Reshis, right before it says Geiz, right before it talks about the shearings, there's an extra word Reshis. That's to tell you that you shouldn't apply anything from the first half of the pasuk to teach me about the halacha of Reish Sagez, that Reish Sagez is independent. That's why it has a new beginning to describe it, Reish Sagez. Rabbi Lai Vav Hadar Arve, Rabbi Lai would respond, no, it doesn't just say Reishis Geis Soncha, it says V'Reishis Geis Soncha. So that tells me that I could put the whole pasuk together again. V'Rabbanon, the Rabbanon would respond, no, lo nechtav rachmana, lo vav, v'lo reishis. Then let the pasuk, now, according to you, Rabbi Lai, that the vav brings the pasuk back together, then why did the pasuk write vav and reishis? It should have written neither one of them, and maybe the pasuk would have been together. So it must be that the vav is not there to put everything back together, that the reishis really does separate the pasuk. So the vav is not there to be ma'ariv, the pasuk as one. V'Rabbi Lai, and Rabbi Lai would respond, I did the high kedushas dami, the high kedushas guf. Pasuk luvader arvilhu. The Torah wanted to draw your attention to the fact that they are distinct from each other. That reishis dagan and reishis hagez are distinct from each other, but because one of them has kedushas damim and one has kedushas aguf, so in order to draw your attention to that distinction, the Torah has a separate reishis, but to also make it that the halachos could apply from one to the other, it then added in the vav. Had it had neither of those things, then we never would have even realized the significant difference between that which has kedushas damim only and that which also has kedushas aguf. Fine. V'ibay seima shutus avid chavim bitrum shutus avid chavim bitruma rabbanon chiyuvim mechayvi. Others say that shutus avid chavim in truma the rabbanon are mechayev. What does that mean? If you look at Rashi, v'ibay seima shutus avid chavim bitruma rabbanon chiyuvim mechayvi chelkel shel Yisrael. The rabbanon are mechayev, the Jews chelek in truma that's b'shutus avid chavim. V'lo matzi l'mifter shutus avid chavim bereish sages bekeshu de truma. What's Reishis Teganecha? Reishis Teganecha is about Truma. So you might have thought that we should take the din of Truma, and we just like we know from Truma. We said that just like by Truma, the Shutvah Sovet Chavim patters you, so that should apply for Reishis Hagez as well. But if you hold that the Rabban were Mechayev in Shutvah Sovet Chavim by Truma, so then you can no longer derive from the Hekesh to Truma. So that's why I need Soncha to be Memait Shutvah of an Ovid Chavim. And the Ganucha to be Memaid Digun of Novik Chavim, like Novik Chavim that buys a Sada from Israel and he's Memareach, the Tvua, etc. So that's why I can't connect the two halves of the pasuk. So the Tanya, because we learn in Brisa, Yisrael va'ovid chavim shalakhu sada b'shutfus. If you have a Jew and a non-Jew that together buy a field b'shutfus, tevel v'chulin mu'uravim. It's considered to be tevel and chulin mixed together. Tevel would mean that which has a chiyuv of being mafer trumas ma'isros. Chulin would be that which has no chiyuv. So the part that belongs to a guy has no chiyuv. The part that belongs to a Jew does have a chiyuv. So the fact that he has a shutfus in the field does not exempt automatically the entire field from truma. So Rabbi holds it's tevel v'chulin mu'uravim together that are all mixed together. Now you don't view it as tevel and chulin that are all mixed together, and therefore you're stuck because what are you going to do? You can't be mafresh anything because it's all one jumble. You say that the chelik that belongs to the Yisrael is chayiv, and the chelik that belongs to the guy is pater. So what are they arguing about? They're just arguing about whether you say brera. Can you say that? Yeah, the part that the Jew takes, that's all the part that's tevel, that's chayiv, and the part that the guy takes, that's the part that's chulin, it's not chayiv and truma. But I will shut for some chavim to be a kol chayeves. But everyone agrees the fact that the guy has a shutfus and it does not exempt the entire field, doesn't exempt the chelek of the Yisrael from truma. Everyone agrees to that you're still going to be chayev in the chelek of the Yisrael. Question is, can you give it? Do you assume brera or not brera? But everyone assumes that the chiyuv is there. So therefore, we can't learn the din of Reish Sagez from that shutfus of chavim patters and Reish Sagez from the din by truma, because by truma it's not true. It doesn't patter. The shutfus of the Ovid Chavim doesn't patter. V'ibay seima travay l'Rabbi Eloi mitzoncha nafka. Or maybe Rabbi Eloi learns both dinim from tzoncha. Shutfus Ovid Chavim mai taima to lo miach delay. Why is shutfus Ovid Chavim not chayiv in Reish Sagez? Because it's not miyuchad for a Jew. So l'Yisrael nami lo miach delay. So when you have a shutfus with another Jew also, it's the same svara. It's not miyuchad for you because it has it's owned by someone else as well. So you don't need two separate psukim, one to be my shutfus Yisrael and another to be my shutfus Ovid Chavim. V'rabbanan Ovid Chavim lav bar chayuvihu Yisrael bar chayuvihu. And the Rabbanan will say, no, there's got to be a big difference. You can't just say it's the same din. By a guy, he's not a bar chiyuva. That's why his shutfus exempts you. By a Jew, he is a bar chiyuva. His shutfus should not exempt you. Fine. Now the Gemara is going to discuss a lot of different places and contexts where the Torah says something belonging to you, and discussing how that affects cases of shutfus. Gemara in today's daf is going to have 5 of these examples. We're not going to get to all 5, and tomorrow we'll just continue. I think we'll get to 9 or 10 examples of where the Torah says something cha, something that belongs to you, and we're going to discuss how it affects shutfus cases. So number one, Amar Rava, Mother Rabbi Loi Betruma, Afalgav Dechsiv Degancha, Didachin Deshutfus Lo. Even though it says Degancha, that which implies that only if it's yours, but not if it's in shutfus. Kas Rachmana Trumo Seichem. But since the pasuk then says Trumo Seichem in the plural, so even if it's b'shutfus, it's chayiv in truma, and everyone's moted to that. It's just shutfus of chavim that's excluded. So el degancha lamali. Why do I have degan? What's degancha teaching me? If even b'shutfus, it's chayiv in truma. Lamute shutfus of chavim to tell me that shutfus of chavim is not included. That if you own produce together with novik chavim, so then it's pater from truma. Case number 2, Chala, afal gav the tziv reishis, vikal memer nail of reishis, mi reishis hagez, malalon deshut v'slo, afkan deshut v'slo. By chala, even though it says reishis, so I might have thought that we should learn from reishis hagez, that just like by reishis hagez, if it's b'shutfus, you don't have to give the reishis hagez. So to chala, that's b'shutfus, you shouldn't have to give the chiv chala. So kas rachmana, ariso sechem. That's why the pasuk dafka says, ariso sechem. Now by chala, it never said, it's just that I would have learnt it from Reish Sageis, but it says Ariso Sechem in the plural to tell me that if you own dough bishutvus with another Jew, that you are chayiv and chala. El time looks of Ariso Sechem halav achiyav minel Reish Sageis. So it sounds like it's only because it says Ariso Sechem. Otherwise, I would have learned from Reish Sageis. Adrav and neilf mitruma. But why would I have learned from Reish Sageis? Why wouldn't I have learned from Truma, which is also a Reishis? So and then learned from Truma that I'm chayiv even bishutvus. Why is the havamina that I would learn from Reish Sageis and be but from Shutfus? So Achinami, yeah, in Achinami, we would have learned it more from Truma, not from Reish Sageis, much more similar to Truma. El Ariso Sechem Lamali. So then why do I need the word Ariso Sechem to tell me, what's it teaching me? If it's not teaching me, that's Shut from Archaev and Chala. Now, Kedei Ariso Sechem, it's telling me the Shir of Chala. It's not telling me that there is a Chiv when there's Shutfus. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Peya and Bechora, etc., all the other cases.